Now, you were on the council for, what, 31 years. How did you get onto your first time on the council?
Yes.
How did you get there?
Well, I was asked by Mr. Ernest de Berg, who lived in Barker Road, Subiaco. He was the leader writer of the West Australian newspaper. He asked me to stand for the West election for the East Ward in the Subiaco Council in 1944. Why did he ask me? Well, the reason is that I lived in Roberts Road, opposite Kitchener Park, which is now,
Mueller Park.
I sang in that too. I and other friends formed a sort of unofficial committee to clean up the park. That includes a clean up of the park. That included intentions to the trees and to all the shrubs and that around the place, which has now been very rubbish.
Interviewing you. How do you do?
Hi.
Sorry, I'm just...
Well, you were just telling me that you'd sort of formed a committee...
Unofficial committee.
Yeah, to help up clean Mueller Park.
That's right.
Now, can I just ask you there,
yes.
What... why did you want to clean up Mueller Park? Was it in a bad way?
Yes, we thought it was, yes. Oh, yes, lots of tins and one thing and another, and a guard of cars. And sometimes we're even camping in there.
Really?
Oh, yes. Ah. You know, things were easy in those days. Of course, I'm going back a long while now. I'm going 1944. Some occasion used to camp there. And
what, for a long time?
For a week or a day, yes. Oh, yes. Just after, I got in 1944. That's why I got into the council. 1944, yes. Well, after that, somewhere in 1945 or 1946 or 1947 people camping there. Oh, well, it's understandable, you know what Australians are.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't find a place, you get in where you can. You get under a tree.
Oh, right.
So, you know, somebody's got together there, and de Berg, I came across de Berg poking around. Oh, I came to de Berg because he, at the time, had gone up since St. Wanda, what do you call it, Wanda, what's that building? Wandana. You know Wandana? That seven-story building there, over in near at the end of Barker Road. Oh, I don't know the big seven-story building.
Huh?
Oh, just around there, nice little houses around there, big rural houses around there. All of a sudden, I think Mr. Herb Graham was the minister in the Labor government, and he got in with the crowd. He could put a seven-story building up there, and people down there didn't like it. You see, that little rural section, rural. Little houses. And de Berg, he was complained about it, and of course that was the reason he got on to me. He said, what do you think about it? I said, I don't like it at all.
Yeah.
Well, when I was going on all the time now, they're going up there and over at the... And so I said, oh, Mr. Campbell, he said they're complaining about the people camping over there and the, you know, this, that and the other. So that was the reason they formed this... Unofficial, that's right.
Right.
That way I went there, was it? I said that, would I? It is, the unofficial committee, that was it.
Yeah, that's right.
Their object was to clean up, you see.
Right.
Hope that doesn't come on to it. Unofficial committee to clean up the park. That includes a clean up of the park. That includes attention to the trees and other such things as... people camping there and a lot of tins around and beer bottles and all the sort of stuff when people are being planned there. And also for people rolling up in their big cars, they're testing their cars in there, you know. That all clear enough?
Yeah.
Mr. de Berg flattered me by saying that I had an ability for public speaking, and he considered that I had a genuine interest in the committee's projects, ambitions. And I was elected to take the place of Tom Prosser in the government, in the council elections for East Ward. And he was the manager of the Prosser funeral. Some of my friends said to me, "You'll not be there for very long, Ken, because..."
Well, when you come here away...
Because they can't... Oh, because... The reason that, he said, because Tom's an important man, they said, because the council was really composed of the elite male residents of Subiaco. The prosperous people, hardware, mercantile, and business people of Subiaco. Now, I know how to check something like that, I know. I said, I will be there anyhow for 3 years. I wanted to find all about it, and I'll find out what's all about. And see what they're doing for the council for doing around in the East Ward. A cynical ratepayer, jokingly, said, "Tom will get you in the end, brother. He will get you in the end." Of course, a little joke was, I said, he was the funeral director. As a matter of fact, he died about 6 months ago. He's a really good fellow, really. I resigned after 32 years as a councillor, 1970. I remember in 1944, we came from Estonia, that bloke in the land there, can't they? It's open their throat, you see. That's not pointing that, is it?
No, you see, I've got the microphone now pointing directly at you, because it's a unidirectional microphone. It should only pick up in this arc, and it shouldn't pick up what's outside there.
Oh, I see, all right.
You see, so that's why I've angled it this way. You don't have to
worry about that.
No,
no. I don't. I remember also in 1944, we used to investigate homes to see that the residents had sufficient bomb shelters against a Japanese aerial attack. That was in March 1944. The Japanese were in the Pacific and floating up around. And then Admiral Christie, I believe his name, at Fremantle, he got a decoded message. He's certain that after this radio message, that Fremantle would be the target. And in Subiaco, not far from Subiaco, is it?
No.
And it never happened to, of course, that towns from Fremantle to Midland Junction were held by authority that we should be fully ready. If you like, really, tell me, the bloke likes to go down if you like.
Now
I
give you permission to go to the...
He's an Estonian sort of bloke. He's like to go down, see if he can ease down a little bit.
Very pleased to see you.
Is he visiting?
No, he might be perhaps visiting.
Since I heard that I was going to come again, I suppose.
What is Gary talking in a normal voice?
Yes.
You're welcome here.
I don't think it should interfere, the vacuum cleaner interfered, the voices should be all right.
Your family here, did you now?
No, she didn't make one.
Well, did you only by yourself?
Yes.
And of course, when the tape's transcribed onto paper, there'll be no noise at all.
Admiral Christie was certain that in a radio message that Fremantle would be the target, and it never proposed, you see, it didn't happen at all. The towns from Fremantle to Midland Junction, we were held by authority that we should be fully ready.
You
don't sit to that thing.
Would you like, well, go and ask him, tell you what, we'll just put that on pause. Where's my pause button? There you go. There we are. Right.
Up until 1945, Subiaco, or Joint, I should say, had housed the members of the American Torpedo Depot. And they were based in Winterbottom's big motor car storage buildings. That was at Jollymont, and they were made the housing of shells for submarines. trucks would come from Fremantle to the, from the Fremantle base to take these shells to and put on side these submarines that were down there at Fremantle.
Mm-hmm.
They were the submarines that were going out to attack the Jap warships that were floating around, listing around there. And so this reminds me that the City Deputy Council, under the Mayor, Mr. J. Bathgate, and the councillors entertained the officers of the of the torpedo unit in a farewell evening. And I have the toast list in the in my hand, and I find that the words General Douglas MacArthur, and the response reads, councillors, in the toast to MacArthur, and in the response done by, it says, councillors De Morley and councillor K.R. Bowen. Service has always been a close relative or related close to Subiac has always been a relatively close knit community with a great deal of interaction between residents and all ages of incomes. It has been fiercely independent and has resisted takeovers from the turn of the century up until 10 years ago. And that's referring to Nedlands tried to take over and the City of Perth.
Okay.
Yes, and yes. And I was with those committees that battled hard and successfully to return and retain Subiac with its character. It would read in the papers that I've got here for verification regarding that the truth of my statement, to show that my interests in this particular bad time, you know, since you saw me last time.
Yeah.
My wife, I wasn't sleeping.
These takeovers.
What did you say?
You know, they said they Nedlands and.
Yeah, I mentioned that. Didn't I mention that?
You just said they tried to take over.
Yeah.
They weren't successful. How did they go wrong? Why did they want Subiaco?
Because, I don't know why, because well, it was a very nicely good, closely knit population, and that they, and probably in it they saw good chances to give those nice little houses at that rural aspect, to give them over to big business enterprises, putting up 8 or 9 stories, and it would be more rates, wouldn't it, for and more money for the Nedlands Council, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And the same thing applies to Perth membership. I think the Professor Fox is over here, that's right. We called upon Professor Fox. There was a lecture in governmental
science?
No. Work, yes. And he came over, Professor Fox, he came, and he put up a great stock, he gave a good story to the government of the day, who had setting out a parliament, taking out a bill in parliament to allow an action. So we should have for the taking over of Subiac or if they'd gone through Parliament, then Nedlands would have come in and asked for it, and they'd go over to Nedlands. And also, Subiac and Perth could have come in too, but a good story too, they might have it too, you see.
Yeah.
And that was their idea. We've got a great fight over there, Professor Fox. Wish I could clear about this for you.
Well, glad you came. Well, it's going well. It's most interesting.
I think about our little tree society. Oh, that's another thing. I was a founder of the tree society. The tree society, I was the president of it.
What was that?
At Subiaco.
What did they do?
Well, the society was conscious of the need to take every opportunity to preserve roadside treads and roadside trees and the native vegetation. And I am proud to realise that I was with the original, original committee, and the work and the ideals have been borne fruit. The present council has a workforce to these ideals, second to none in any other council.
That's good.
Mrs. Craig said one of my good jobs as a councillor was the starting of the Tree Society, because I was its first president. It's now in its 29 year. It's in operating.
I think that was quite an achievement.
Yes, it's still going, yes. That would be after 29 years ago.
And there's some beautiful trees in Subiaco.
Yes. Well, I got there in 1960, when I realised, so they don't know what can I. Well, that's right, in June 1967, it must have been, I made a mistake there, when in a tree planting ceremony down Lake Jolimont, trees were planted under the, under the names of the members of who'd helped to start and help the Tree Society. Mm-hmm. And the man that was giving a hand for that was Mr. Hugh Guthrie, who was the he gave us a lot of authority, at least he not only gave us authority, but he gave us a help in money and in other ways too, to giving life to the Tree Society. And he was a member for Subiaco. He was a member for Subiaco. Got here, these trees were planted to the memory of members of the then Tree Society. Athol Thomas, a journalist for the West Australian, must have done in the paper sometime, he wrote that when Ken first saw the swamp around here, which was a rubbish tip for tins and all kinds of rubbish. And now it's a very wonderful place. It's now called rubbish dump. It's now a very nice, it's a show place at one of the parks in Subiaco. The other place, I mean, what do they call it? I can't think of the name.
It's
You don't know.
It's not Mule Park, is it?
No, I didn't think so. Talbot Park, I think they call it.
Well, whereabouts is Talbot Park?
Well, like you go, when you go to Jellymont, you go right on for about a half a mile and turn to the right.
Oh, right, yes.
I remember Hugh Guthrie said, oh, Ethel Thomas, that's right, I remember cutting a place I looked for there. Mm. I'll go there somewhere, I'll show you someday. To me, that it takes me down, a stroll down memory. Stop there. 85 years ago, the population had 100 persons in 1885. The early council meetings those days were held in a stop, right, I was at the Rugby Road. 1899, the foundations were laid for the municipal office and chambers and the library. It's all combined. In 60 years, from 1900, Sevieca. Oh, that's terrible. It must be nerving. If I could have written that thing, but I'm reading for mine, I guess I can't think of it. Sevieca. In 60 years, from 1900, Sevieca. They anyhow progressed. Mm-hmm. It came the electric trams, and they were moving through the new forming city that went through sporting clubs and springing up churches and schools and the university. Don't forget the Sevieca Council comes from Shenton Park, right over to Crawley, where the university, that comes under the authority of Sevieca.
Oh, it does, does it? Mm. Oh. I knew it went over right up to it's quite a wedge, it goes right up to the river, doesn't it?
Yeah. By 1984 now, the population was 70,000. Mm. In the 32 years in the council, I have taken my part in building the new city hall and the gardens and the new city office. If I'm my name's on the foundation plate and the foundation stone, so that must be right. Then it also includes the city library. If you look on that, you'll find a big brass plate on there. In these, there are brass plates containing my name, indicates that I was active in my duty to the task to which I've been elected. I should all mention that my name is on the honour roll for the Meals on Wheels office in Rivet Street, the Meals on Wheels. The Sevieca Meals on Wheels Centre, that is. That reminds me that Sevieca Cricket Club was a very well-known cricket club. In response to them, I brought up the need for a bubble.
Yeah.
That's right. And later on, there was one put in 1967, I believe. The council installed and costing about $200. And it is now to the Floreat.
Just a minute, Mr. Bowen. Right, that's just the information I want. Right, it's on again. Now,
Oh, that's right, there's nothing to do. Oh. Well, the first job in the council was to inveigle. No, matter of fact, the council in 1964 decided to create a dog control board. All the dogs around all the place. And I was appointed its first chairman. My first job in this was to try to inveigle all the surrounding councillors to come into it, because they contribute to the cost of the rate of the dog contact, or not dog catcher, but the dog patrol officer. Mm-hmm. That's a better word than that. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, while I say that then, well, that went on and on and on until last year, I believe. Matter of fact, that included paying the wages of a dog controller. The dogs were then taken to a centre built in Subiaco Council, in Subiaco by the council, of course. Well, now today, the council has their own complete dog controller centre for dogs in 2 days. That Subiaco has their dog controller. Mm-hmm. That means all the other councillors have pulled out. Mm. They're worrying about it now. I see papers in the letter about their dogs and one thing or another. You don't hear that about Subiaco. Well, that's right. Another thing too. When I was in the council, what was that, 1954, we played with the Argentine ants.
Oh, I've heard about the good
play,
yes.
Yeah. Well, I started, that's right, yeah, that's right. And anyhow, I'll tell you about that, because, oh gee,
yeah.
That's all right.
Hang on, before you do, right, I've turned it over and it's gone.
Right. Another project that my heart, near to my heart, was the promotion of historical society in Subiaco. This became a hearty perennial brought up by me year after year. And John Arthur is now one of the managers of the Daily News. He was only a young reporter then. He used to say to me, well, Ken, you're bringing the old Christmas one up again, now you'll have it rejected. And that was putting a motion for the retain of the SEC building, the formation of a historical society. And I could see the mayor can say, well, when are you going to have that historical society? Well, I said, it'll come eventually. And now, if you look in one of the journals printed by the Subiaco Historical Society, it pays tribute to the fact that I've paid for 17 years, that I pursued the question for 17 years. I battled away to get it, and eventually they said that we could have the SEC building over the Historical Society. And there's a photograph of the West Australian there, which it shows I'm handing to, he wasn't then mayor, he was just a young man, handing the deeds over to a young fellow called Mr. Richard Diggins.
Oh, yeah.
He later became a councillor and also the first president of the Subiaco Historical Society. Mm. That all right?
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yes. 17 years you tried to
do that. Yes, I've got to have to check here. They took a couple of minutes to make sure, and they've written another book about it.
Yeah.
They've written one of their books about it.
So wonder you didn't give up.
Yes, I know. And that chap called John Arthur, that's right, the Daily News. He said, well, they're in his paper, a little article about it, said Mr. Bowen, the Councillor Bowen came out with his annual perennial, is that the word he used?
Yeah.
Anyhow, this project was the promotion of an historical society in Subiaco. This became a hardy perennial, as I've told you, brought up by me year after year, until other councillors took it up and the project was launched with the old SEC building set aside as a new headquarters for the society. My many years with the council, from my being the youngest to the oldest councillor, have seen many changes and improvements too in the life of Subiaco. Not all by me, by other people, but I've been in it. Outstanding among the city's achievements, while I've been tied with them, has been the City Hall, the new council chambers, and the library. One recalls the building of the kindergarten, infant health centre, and the beautifying of Centre Park Lake. Yes, that's quite right. And I've got a little cutting out there where I had to be on the committee for the kindergarten, and that resulted in the building of the kindergarten building. It became an infant health centre and the beautifying of Shenton Park Lake.
Did water have to be drained from the Shenton Park Lake?
Yes. You've got to know, that's right. That was part of the years. They got expert people onto that sort of thing. And now it's a same place now, isn't it? The churches have evenings there and marches in there and so on.
And I think you can go past almost every day and there is something of people using it.
Yes.
It's good to see.
Well, another thing too, talking about the Infant Health Centre, I was associated with Mrs. Dame Florence Cardinal Oliver. And she was the minister, she was the member for Subiaco in 1951, and she became the first woman in Australia to be appointed to a cabinet minister, cabinet rank. She showed a keen interest in children's nutritional problems by introducing the free milk scheme. When she started, it was in Subiaco. But about the kindergarten, I think it was 1936, that's right. Well, anyhow, my involvement on that sort of work there, and going around and helping Mrs. Cardinal Oliver there, it was at a party of East Ward electors, not called by me, called by somebody else. I think the chairman, as it were, of the first unofficial committee that had started 20 or 30 years before, they formed a little meeting there, and what did they say to me? To thank me for what I've done as an East Ward councillor. And it was at a party of East Ward electors when Dame Florence Cardinal Oliver described my work as a pastoral municipal service. Because it also included my visiting people who were sick and reading, the sick were sick, and also my wife helped in that respect too. There were people in our ward. And also, I used to go to the Home of Peace and read there, see, and they got support from the Subiaco Council in that, because you want the way of transport or anything like that, anything you want, well, let us know, because you'll find in the books over there that for a long, long while, for at least 29 years, I used to go to the Home of Peace and speak to them and arrange for entertainments to them. And let them and bring the good wishes of Subiaco Council to them in any way they could help them. Another thing I'm thinking of, talking about old things, reminds me of the Subiaco Oval. The Oval Committee, on which I served for nearly 30 years, I took part in very dramatic changes. The original pattern set by the founding fathers has been modified and elaborated, especially by the addition of a three-tiered grandstand. Although in conception it has not really been altered. I want to keep the same idea of the ideals that we set up in the beginning from Subiaco to be a rural community. Anyhow, the WANFL, that's the name of the West Australian National Football League, they decided to make it their headquarters in Subiaco. In 1936 they did that. The following year, we saw the biggest crowd at the time to attend a West Australian football match. The Carnival Final between West Australia and Victoria. The match won by Victoria. It won 14 goals to 17, at least 14-17 to 13-11 was seen by 32,000 people. 38,000 people, that's right, yes. I wrote that piece down. That is right there. And so looking back over those years, well, that phase of my life may be considered as closed, it will always be part of my being to my life's enrichment. Another thing I can't think of, didn't mention it to you, that was another thing.
You must have been terribly busy.
Well, you see them down. I say they're all there in plates and one thing and another. You float around. I didn't say they're very wandered, but that's the truth, though. Yeah, that's the Tree Society, that's the cricket.
Meals on Wheels, kindergarten.
Yes.
Subiaco Oval.
Mm-hmm.
Jollymont Park.
Mm-hmm.
There's not an awful lot you didn't have ahead.
I can't think of that. There's another little Talbot Park.
Mm.
You don't know where that is?
No, I don't think I've been much around Jollymont. I'll go and have a look now you've talked about it.
Yeah, can't
have a look. Now, what was your biggest disappointment, do you think, in the years you were councillor, and what was your biggest achievement? What gave you
another
most
thing, pleasure? Another thing I was important to, I was delegated by the council to go to the local government association for 12 years, of the delegate of the local government association. And alongside me there used to be Mr. Smith. He's photographed in the paper the other day. He was the mayor of Netherlands for about 25 years. Did you notice that in the paper?
Mm-hmm.
I was just alongside him there. And we resulted, and our theme then was clean up the river. And I used to go on Saturdays, I'd come there. I'd go with another chap from the West Australian and several other people who were interested in cleaning up the river. I can remember going down there at North Fremantle where those big sort of buildings were that were skin hide, where they treat them and all the stuff would go into the river.
Mm-hmm.
And our ideal is that there should be there is now a Swan River, Swan River Authority.
Mm-hmm. For contamination of the river.
It's really clean, it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's right. Well, that was one thing. I was very happy about that because over here in Crawley, I'll take the kids there myself, so I was very fond of that. Yes. I should put that in a bit of words, shouldn't I?
No, that sounds...
I think that's wonderful. They've got this Swan River.
I think that sounds very, very important.
The Swan River.
Protection, would it be?
Yes.
No, pollution, anti-pollution?
No, oh, no, in heart, in spirit, that's what it's
called. Well, that's right, yes.
That's the title is. The fish has got the wild, they've got the fisheries and wildlife. Now they've got to think of the Swan River.
Environment Protection Agency? No.
Swan River. I'll say that word again.
Environmental?
Environment, that would do it, yeah. Anyhow. Mm. No one would argue about it. That's all over here. That is really what it is. Mm. Yes. Mm. Well. That was one of the things I learned.
Yeah. And that would have been one of the things you think that just given you the greatest satisfaction of
I
having
think
done.
So. Yes, yes. Yes. Mm. Yes.
And what about your biggest failure?
Oh, well, not really. No, I don't have any at all. The things I've looked for. The trees have gone out. You knew the trees that they put down in what do we call the park? Nicholson Road Park.
Mm-hmm.
See? The trees went ahead then. People at the time complained about cutting those trees down, didn't they? But the plan now is the same idea what the Tree Society wanted.
Yeah. Well, then don't put it failure. Did you have any major disappointment? Something that went ahead but didn't go ahead and quite the
no,
way
I can't think of anything.
No.
Oh, there's another thing too. I went up to, that's right. I called a meeting, yes, on my own volition. I called a little meeting, talking to somebody else. I was talking to a chap called Alan Foister, and he was the state president of the West Australian Debating Society. Alan Foister, that was his name. Anyhow, I did start a debating. Mr. Abrams said to me, I told him about it, Mr. Abrams, the mayor, and he said, well, he said, I think that's very good because, he said, some of our councillors could do some, the debating abilities could be improved, he said. And also, he said, some of the people that come to us without complaints, one thing and another. He said, there could be better debaters. He said, well, he said, if you can start one, we support any way you like. So it was held a meeting in Thomas Street School. And I remember the people on it was, well, I found, I think, there's Mrs. Townsend, Miss Townsend, who's she floating around. There's Miss Parker, who later became a Lady Mayor. That's not, she was the mayoress of some time, for 3 or 4 years ago. No, it was 8 years ago. For about 2 years, she was the mayoress. And I have no idea that Bob Bull came along to it. Trying to think of the people that went on to it. Now, I'm not too sure about it now. But people came into it anyhow. And of course, it didn't last forever. Well, it ended eventually. But it was a very good debating club. And also, one lecturer came and took us lessons in the Thomas Street School. That's a little club that we started. And I know one was Mr. Alan Foister. And he's LVL now. He was a very good debater because I think he won a cup for becoming the winner of an All-Australian competition in baiting club, yes.
Oh.
Yes, he got it there now. It was held in Melbourne against all the suburbs, all the West Australian, Tasmania, anybody else.
Yeah, right.
And he came, and he helped us a lot, and he came to us. Mm. And I think a lot of our people came, very debaters, debaters, yes. And they came into this and the other and very thanked us all about this. I come across these old people now, or they're getting old now, they're only young men. They said they referred to the helpful debating sessions that we had there. Oh, the chap called Jim Rance, that's right. Miss Parker. Another thing I was, for a number of years I was the president. No, the vice president. I was to be the president, but the other chap went away, and I thought he might come back. It was the Thomas Street Infant School. What do you call it? Parents and Citizens.
Yeah.
I was president of that for about 12 years, yes.
What about, You're obviously an extremely busy person because you were doing this along with your other your job as well. This was all extra on top.
Yes.
What did your was your wife a help? Did she was she very involved great,
yeah.
too?
Yes, she did help. Yes, that's quite right. Yes, my wife. Yes, she's a terrorist sick. That's why I'm saying she's sick down there now. I put that to her. She said, "No, not at all." She says, "She said I'm glad to work with you." She said, but she was a tower of strength to me.
Was she also a member of many committees, or was it made?
And the Historic Society, and I think I had on Parents and Citizens.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
And also, that's right, a little cutting there. I found that thing there somewhere. Where's that little thing? This might be an old thing. This I don't take that out when someone gave it to me. This might be a better one. This might be a better one. I'll give you an idea of, oh, that's a bit, that'll help you better. That's an old idea. Someone brought that to me yesterday. It's down there. I've got a click of it. I think somewhere along. Oh, there you are.
His wife, Ruth, is involved in Works of Compassion as a convener of the East Ward Shut-ins Visitation Group. Serving
When might I see her tomorrow?
Hi. Just turn that on.
Professor Eric Underwood was the principal of it, and he was a severe ratepayer. So he asked me to.
We haven't mentioned he was about what he belonged to.
The founder of the Professor Eric Underwood. He was the founder. He was the inspiration of the Tipperary. He's the founder of it. Yes.
Right.
He's dead now though. Yeah. That's his wife, Dr. Eric Underwood. Do you know Eric? You've heard of her?
No.
Yes.
I know. What's that? And this work over the years, you...
Oh, that's right. We organised since 1945 the monthly service of goodwill and cheer at the Home of Peace. That's right.
That involved the reading you were talking about. Yes.
Did I?
Yes. You told me about that.
That's right.
Home of Peace. Yes. And all this gave you... did it give you any... No, that's a silly thing. I rephrase the question. This obviously gave you a lot of personal satisfaction.
Well, because I was interviewed by the West Australian after I made my, after my 30th year, it might have been that, with the counsellor, they said to me, before that, they said, why are you so interested in it? What's the reason? And what's the answer to it? If we've got other people in like that,
What was the reason? Why are you interested?
I was in enthusiasm. And that's what they. That was the highlight in the West Australian. How to become a counsellor? Balance enthusiasm. Enthusiasm for it. And so I realised that joining in for the council, I felt there was an interest as a direct call to service, and affords a means of giving practical instructions to the ideals that lie close to one's heart.
Have you ever been sorry?
No. Municipal interests are a direct call to service and affords a means of giving practical expression to the ideals that lies close to one's heart. Civic sense, service is one of the noblest and most necessary tasks in Subiaco to which a person can dedicate himself. Civics is nothing less than service to the public. So we owe service, we do. Yes. We're born to this work. If you're a Christian, you owe something given to you, and we owe service to society, don't we? In what way? Not doing something not of use to society, but, well, here's one. Mr. DeBerg wanted me to join the council, Mr. DeBerg, and he's one of the heads in the West Australian, of course. Yes, he was the leader writer, Ernest DeBerg. Yes. Well, he sort of flattered me by saying, well, he said, your enthusiasm and your we believe you've got debating ability. I had a stroke then, had I? He said, "Righto, Mr. de Burg. Well," he said, "if you do that, I'll get a committee going, and if you do that, if you stand, I didn't think I would, but anyhow, I got in, and I'll meet Tom Prosser. Well, there you are. As I say, something as well, can you won't be there for long, because Tom's a big man, you know." I said, "Well, here you are. I'm going to try for a little while. At least I can't be put out for them 3 years. I'll be there for 3 years anyhow. I'll find out all about it." But 3 years ended, and then the next time, I think it was de Burg again. He came. He wanted me put up again. Well, that's right. The next time, that was a chap called he was a chemist there up in the East Ward. Mr. I can't think of his name. He said, "I want you to put up." He said, "I'll pay for the digest and that if you put that out." He said, "If you put up again." And after about 12 years, I said to somebody else, "Well, I've been in a long while now. I think people have told me that my book." "No, well, look, Will, you join this committee." I forgot who that was. "Oh, yes, that's right." And one of the chaps that came and died and gave me a hand was a chap called, along the years and years after, a chap called "Keep Doubting It." But, no. And anyhow, toward the end, after I finished that 30 years, or 31 years, Ruth was at the time too, the chap came to stand again and wanted me to stand up, a chap called Dr. Tom Daydall.
Oh, yes, I know.
"No, look, I've had enough of it. I'm going down a little bit now. I've been going down the road, Tom." He said, "No, he wanted me to get in for his own reason, to get something else." That was why.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "No."
Well, one final question can I ask you then? What do you think?
Ruth helped me a lot. Ruth did help me a lot. Don't worry about that. Not that she's right, but if I had a... that's one thing where I... Jehovah's, that's what they all tell you. That. Now I'm getting so old now. When you get some of the... If they're still alive, they're in the council. They used to call on me to make, some speech when something or other was coming. I think it says here, doesn't it say that? The reporter said this. Best of all, he is me, is remembered by those who can recall his flair for a witty anecdote, which has been noted in time by more than one reporter. But his dedication to his work in local government can best be shown by quoting an address which he gave the West Australian in 1947. Municipal interest, sorry, don't cry, yes. Another thing, what do you think about that, Rich?
No, I was just going to say, what do you feel about council today, its direction?
I think Shriviak is very good. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think he's got a standard there, because the council now, they've got and the mayor, they've got a good leader, because, and he's only giving what other people want, that is the retention of the little sort of rural idea that Subiaco had 50 or 60 years ago when I sort of came into it. A rural sort of, the slow, nice little houses, the little corner shop, and no one behind.
Yes, multi-storey building.
Yes.
Well, I think
if you look around, you'll find that that those views that will, some people are happy to sell their houses to big business people, something, but not estate agents, I should say.
Developers.
But if they're told by the council, you haven't got permission to sell your house, not least to that. You're just sending it to somebody else to shift in, that's all right.
Mm.
But not sending them to some big commercial enterprise, see?
Mm.
And I think that is really the real spirit. I'm glad of that, because at one time in the council, I think the one or two have been quite happy to. I remember the councillors who were quite happy to pull down that SEC building, pull it down.
Mm.
They were builders, one thing and another. There's another thing I remember too. When Mr. Barclay was the mayor at the time, that's another thing, I've forgotten that, yes. They reckon we were socialists, because up until then, people on the council had been bank managers, something like that, not the Commonwealth Bank, anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought that the Commonwealth, that the City Act Council, should be the visiting with the state government, or the Commonwealth Bank, you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Not the NZ or something like that.
it's a semi-government, isn't it?
Mm.
So back in the city. And so that would be, that's a big card. They've been shooted out over the years, but because on the council when I got in, there were big people in there, there were important people, and they, as I say, the bank managers and one thing and another for their own particular banks. And at the time, no, people said, oh, those people said, they said, oh, socialism bringing in again. Socialism coming in again.
Mm.
No, but it didn't beat, it didn't win. We got, and Mr. Bathgate, he was quite keen on that too. Oh, and another thing, Dr. Herbert Ferguson, he has been for many, many years the medical officer, hasn't he, for the council. Mm. Bert Ferguson, did you know, another Perth Modern School boy. He's nearly as old as I am. Well, he went many years ago, I think it would be 1942, 43, that's right. He went for a trip to Melbourne. And while he was there, he went down to South Melbourne, and he went to the council there, and he found they had the sort of, not only the Meals on Wheels, but they had a nurse there for looking after the health of the community. What do you call it, social worker?
Yeah, that's right.
He came back and he told me about the camp. He said, I can't put that out to him, but he said, if you go through the camp, it'll be all right. So I brought that up years after years. And eventually that came right. We have a social worker now, the one, Sister Rose was, I think, the first one to be appointed, yes.
Yeah.
They had some at the time, oh, you're going over to this, you know, socialism again, that's the idea. Socialising. Put it in another, not socialising.
No, yes, I don't.
Yeah, getting away from, yes. It's not our bit, it's not our council to come into that sort of thing. But Bert Ferguson, yes, he's still alive. He's pretty old. He's nearly as old as I am.
I've not met him.
Yes, that's our Ferguson. Matter of fact, yes, yes. The night that when I was being made a Freeman of the City of Subiaco, all the script record that way was all made by Freeman of the City of Subiaco by Mr. June Craig. I'm trying to think what June Craig had said night when she was giving the accolade. I can't think
the
of that.
This tape is just about going to run out. Before it does, I want to say thank you very much for talking to me. It's been fascinating and enjoyable. We appreciate it very much.
When that came, I brought up with the council and the same idea, you know. However, the time came when the council did appoint a social worker. I think her name was my Sister Rose, I think the name of the first one, that must be about 19, 20 years ago. And they have one year after year, haven't they?
Well, who is it now? It's Sister Dowling, isn't it?
Sister Loney's.
No?
No, I know the name. It's the same name of a well-known... scientist for... Heather Drummond. Mr. Drummond was a Scottish, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's right, Sister Drummond.
Scottish philosopher, wasn't he, Drummond? Drummond, wasn't he?
Was he?
Drummond, philosopher.
I don't know.
Yes, I'm very...